Welcome everyone back to Riptide Rundown. My name is Marcus.
And my name is Kales.
And today we are going to be going over last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, and there is a lot to talk about. It was an interesting night of Raw. We're going to start off with the opening segment of the night, unfortunately. I know you guys have probably been on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything yesterday morning and saw the sad news about Rhea Ripley possibly having to vacate her title over some sort of injury. And she came out, talked about it right away, has to give up her title. She said she's going to be out months. We didn't get her telling us what the injury was or how long, but you actually found some information regarding the injury, right?
Yeah, so according to an insider, she has a AC joint sprain, and the mobility will come back in 4 to 6 weeks, but it can take up to 3 months for her to be cleared to come back into action. So we possibly won't see her in the ring until Money in the Bank or SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, she's, what, her reign's 360 days, 380 days, sorry. So, I mean, she was on a tear. She clearly wasn't going to lose her title until the title match she was going to get, probably with Liv Morgan. We talked about this a little bit last night. It's weird because they're doing, like, you know, the winner of next week's match on Monday Night Raw, which you don't know the participants yet, will win the Women's World Championship. There's not a lot of very big women single names on Raw. I mean, there's Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, and Nia Jax, and after that, I feel like I'm just kind of lost. Yeah. Like, I don't really have any more. I mean, but although they didn't really have a need for that, because I assumed that they were going to get the Liv Morgan feud, and then, you know, they could have brought a couple more prominent women's wrestlers over to Raw during the draft in a couple weeks, but now they're kind of scrambling because there's not really a lot of big names that can win that title right now. So I think Liv Morgan's going to win it personally.
I mean, realistically, I can only see Liv winning it now after this whole revenge tour that she's going on. But I would. I mean, like, honestly, this sounds crazy, but
you're saying you wouldn't be, like, opposed to seeing Nia Jax for the title? Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be either.
Upset about it. I like Nia Jax. I mean, like, I've definitely warmed up to her because when she first came back, I wasn't that excited about it. I wasn't a big fan of her, but now that she's been back for a while, it is kind of like, it would be interesting to see her have a title.
Yeah, I don't know if Becky's back. I mean, there are reports saying she's on a hiatus, but she posted on Twitter saying that she's going to be, like, back at these house shows or whatever. So I don't know if she's going to be competing on Monday Night Raw for that match, but I don't want to see her win it. It would feel like a kind of, like, a pity party. Yeah. Like, a pity win just because she lost at WrestleMania. Oh, here, we'll just throw the title on you because we don't got no one better to put it on.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think I'd really want that. But our thoughts and our prayers are with Rhea Ripley. Speedy recovery. Hope you get well soon, obviously. And then after that, the returning Sheamus, who had been out for 8 months, came back with his old theme. There were rumors that Def Rebel made him a new theme and everyone was sad, but he came back with his old theme, thank God. It started with his, like, one that he had when he was in his last run in WWE, like the intro to it, and then it went to his old theme, which I think everyone's excited to hear Lobsterhead being back. If you don't get that joke, it's okay. Everyone is super excited to see that back. He had a solid match, a really solid match. Hit a white noise from a top rope, hit a bro kick on Ivar. I'm a little confused, though, because Ivar was on NXT last week confronting Obafemi, and wasn't in any of his Viking gear. I mean, it looks like they were going to have a feud, but then he comes out for a match on Monday Night Raw in all of his Viking gear. I don't know what the plan is there.
Yeah, his Viking gimmick is not working at all. Like, I think Ivar is a really, really good wrestler.
Incredibly talented. Yeah,
he's so talented. He's so good in the ring. But I'm so uninterested in his gimmick. And I think that they need to do something different with him. It was really interesting when he was on NXT. I really thought that we were getting some big change from him, but clearly not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard for any wrestler to succeed with a Viking gimmick. It's never worked, never has worked, never will work. You can't get over with the fans and a Viking gimmick. It just doesn't happen. So I would really like to see him get out of that. I thought the feud with Obafemi was going to kind of, like, just take him away from the Viking Raiders, which would be perfect, but it's not. It's not at all, so that's highly, highly unfortunate. But you know, we're talking about Sheamus here. Great return. Michael Cole did mention on commentary the only title he's never won is the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe when this Sami and Gable feud is over, somewhere down the line, that Sheamus might go back for that title. He tried to beat Gunther Ford a couple times. He had two great matches, one at Clash in the Castle and one at WrestleMania 39 with Drew McIntyre, of course. Phenomenal match. So I would love, when this Gable and Sami feud is over, for him to finally get a shot at that title, because then that would make him a Grand Slam champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that'd be really interesting and really cool to see. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember, like, watching Sheamus as a kid, so it was really interesting to have him back, because I wasn't really watching at the time of, like, I think I started watching, like, right after he got injured. Like, I don't think that I really watched Sheamus wrestle.
No, not really. No, not really. You didn't really see a lot of him. Mm-hmm. No.
So now, seeing him now as an adult, it's definitely really cool to, like, have that connection, I guess, because I'm like, oh, I watched Sheamus when I was a kid. That's so exciting. Like, it's cool to have him back. I'm excited.
Absolutely. He's a great guy. The first ever house show I went to, I was young, probably 6 or 7. He stood outside for probably an hour and a half, doing autographs and taking pictures with everyone. Just a really nice guy. So I'm glad he's back. That's happy. The next segment of the night was Adam Pearce and Paul Triple H Levesque announcing new world tag team titles. R-Truth and The Miz came out and accepted them. So it's a new world. That's what they're calling them. World Tag Team Championships. I assume that Theory and Waller on SmackDown will just be the WWE Tag Team Champions. Maybe similar belts. I don't know. They're making their logo very, like, present on the titles, which is fine, but I think this title just kind of looks like the Women's World Championship. I don't know. I don't like the new design of titles. I'm not a fan of them.
I like them. Like, I saw a picture of them on WWE Shop, and I definitely like them more on there, because I think that on TV they just looked kind of odd. But I do like that they're finally changing up the titles, because I'm tired of the old tag team titles.
Yeah, the red ones and the SmackDown ones, the blue ones for, you know, Raw and SmackDown, they're just not it. They're so ugly. So I'm glad those are gone. R-Truth is a national treasure, calling Triple H Tommaso Ciampa, Houdini, you know, magician, and Triple H just getting, like, I think he actually got a little, like, fed up with R-Truth at some point. He was, like, really annoyed. And then after that, it turned out that there was a triple threat number one contenders match between DIY, the Creed Brothers, and the New Day. Now, I work every Monday night, so I wasn't able to catch a lot of this match. So, I don't know. Did you get to catch a lot of that? What were your thoughts on the match?
I didn't get a whole lot of it. I mean, like, I did watch the whole thing, but I did have, like, a lot of thoughts on the Creed Brothers, because I think that the Creed Brothers are so good. Like, I really do, and I know that, like, a lot of people don't... I mean, I wouldn't say a lot of people don't like them, but a lot of people don't care enough to pay attention to them. But they are very impressive. Like, I was paying attention to them, and I was like, wow, they are, like, really good. And I really think that Julius Creed has a lot of potential to possibly go off and do a singles run eventually at some point in the future. I hope.
I absolutely agree with that. I think Julius Creed would be a perfect singles run guy. I think he could contend for a mid-card title like the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship. The issue is, see, I didn't watch these guys a lot in NXT. Of course, I knew about them and I watched them here and there, but I don't really remember too many of their promos, so I don't know if they're good on the mic. Maybe they're not getting a push because they're not solid on the mic, which I would understand, because obviously, I mean, that's why Ricochet really didn't get a push and was off TV for a while. I mean, phenomenal wrestler, but he is just so bad on the mic. So that could be a reason they're not getting the push. But the part of the matches that I saw, the match was pretty solid. Ended up with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano doing a meet in the middle on Xavier Woods, I think, or Kofi, one of the two. And then pin 1-2-3. So DIY, the new number one contenders, which is very interesting considering they're very good friends with Awesome Truth. I'm excited for that match. I know Awesome Truth isn't going to drop the titles yet, but I'm a DIY fanboy. I'm probably the biggest DIY fan in the world. So I would love for them to win. Love for them to win that match.
That would be really cool. I do like DIY. They're definitely growing on me. At first, I wasn't so sure, but
they're just so talented in the ring.
They're very good. They're definitely, like I said, growing on me. But I do want Awesome Truth to keep those titles for a while. And maybe not, like, super long, but at least longer than what they have now, which I think that they will. Like, I don't think that...
They're probably not... No, I'm not going to drop them anytime soon. I could see them holding them for at least 6 to 8 months. I think Gargano and Ciampa just really give me flashbacks to the Black and Gold era of NXT, if any of you remember that. It's just... That's just what it reminds me of. I mean... Gargano especially was one of, if not the best wrestler on that Black and Gold era with guys like Adam Cole and Finn Balor. So it's just, I mean, they're just so fun to watch in the ring. I love them. The next segment was the women's tag match, right? Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Match went honestly a little longer than I thought it would. I thought it'd be a quick match. Ended up in an Indy Hartwell heel turn. You know, Candice LeRae has obviously been very heel the last couple weeks. Indy kind of looked like she wasn't agreeing with it. Maybe would do a face turn and break away, which I would have loved a single run from Indy Hartwell. But I guess it's a heel turn, and she's sticking with Candice. I don't know if she's doing this out of fear, doing this out of just Candice being her best friend, or what. But I'm not really sure the direction they're going in with this here.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I was really hoping for Indy to turn on Candice or, you know, like, go face. I would have really liked that because I love Indy. But, I mean, I guess I could see why she would be sticking with Candice, but I don't know. I was excited to see Indy kind of break off and do her own thing for a while. It would have been really cool, but I don't know. That match, though... I was very surprised at how long it was. Like you said, I was not expecting it to be as long as it was just because of their past matches have been...
Well, this is the first week without The Rock on national television, so he didn't have to go over in a promo, so they actually got the time that they were, you know, expected to.
I want to say that Maxine has improved so much.
Yeah.
Like, she looked so good during that match, and even though, like, they lost... She still looked, like, amazing, and they still made her look, like, really strong, really great. And, I mean, obviously, Ivy Nile always looks great, because she's super talented, so I'm excited to see what Maxine gets to do in the future, especially with her showing more improvement.
I don't know if the goal is to keep doing these tag matches week in and week out. I would like to see something different, you know, maybe a one-on-one match. Mm-hmm. I know they just did that, like, last week or the week before, but I'm not really... interested in another tag match between these four women. I think they got their point across now with the Indy Hartwell heel turn. So I wouldn't be shocked if they went in a different direction with Indy and Candice LeRae kind of like cementing this feud being over. After that was the Dominic Andrade match, or was there something before that?
Well, yeah, pretty much. There was a
it was the segment. Judgment Day segment. Judgment Day segment. Damian Priest went wild in that. He's very like. Rhea's gone and he's like full force. You know, I'm the boss now. Very rude and like arrogant. Like,
We also saw that. I mean, it was pretty much confirmed that there was going to be Damian versus Jay at Backlash, which is really exciting.
That is confirmed. Correct.
Like I'm excited about that. I don't know. I like both of them, so it's hard for me to like root for one. But I am super excited to see that. But yeah, Damian, I mean, like, he has really proven that he's going to be the leader now that Rhea's gone.
I think they're definitely making this into a Judgment Day breakup. Hopefully, Finn winning Money in the Bank, and then Rhea returning around that time trying to, like, bring it back together. And then Finn ends up, you know, when Damian won, it was like, you know, Finn's like, hey, if I win this title against Seth, because that's when they were feuding, like, you're not going to cash in on me, right? Like, you're not going to cash in on me. I think this is going to be reversed, but Finn is actually going to cash in on Priest, and hopefully he wins it. I have nothing against Priest as a world champion. Absolutely nothing at all. Finn Balor hasn't won a title since that one-day Universal title at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins when he got hurt, so I would really just...
Yeah.
I would really love for him to win another world title, but we're going back to the segment now. Yeah, Damian was really in control, really bossy, and then Andrade and Dom went out and had a phenomenal match. Dom did a Canadian Destroyer on the apron. They both looked really solid. I mean, Andrade always looks really good in the ring. Dom looked really good. JD tried to help, ended up in Andrade winning, and then JD and Dom attacking Andrade just for Ricochet to come out and save him. So we're getting Ricochet and Andrade versus JD and Dom next week.
Yeah, I was not very happy with the outcome of that match. I mean, obviously, like, if you read the title of, or the name of our podcast, where at least I'm obviously a Judgment Day fan, so it's kind of hard to see Dom lose over and over and over again, but I guess it made sense for him not to during this match.
We talked about it a little last night. It's just they keep putting Dom into these matches where there's just no way he can win. I mean, Ricochet was taking down every member of the Judgment Day. He had to win. I mean, I talked about this to you. His only pay-per-view match last year was against Cody Rhodes. He was never going to win that match. Like, they're just putting him in matches that it's not realistic for him to win. We talked about, like, you would like for him to branch off and do, like, a singles mid-card title run. For me, he's just not... There's nothing convincing about him to want me to put a title on him. There's nothing about him that just screams, oh, he needs a title on him. Like, I don't know if it's the gimmick that he's in right now, or I love his gimmick, by the way. I think it's perfect for him. Or just not convincing enough on the mic, or convincing enough in the ring. There's just, like, if he branched off, I'm like, no, like, Dom doesn't. Like, when he was NXT North American Champion, I wasn't really intrigued in it. I don't know. And I'm not, like, a Dom hater either. I think he's very talented in the ring. I don't know what it is. It's just, it just doesn't scream title to me.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he doesn't, when he is on the mic, he doesn't really get to talk.
An issue, yeah. It's kind of a problem.
So, we don't really get to hear him do promos or do anything on the mic because, I mean, you can't hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
I think that if he had the opportunity to actually talk, which I get the whole booing thing, it's funny, it's a joke thing, like, I get it. But I would like to be able to hear him actually be on the mic and do something, but, you know, doesn't work out.
I don't know. On the other side of things, Andrade looked very good in the ring. He's been very, very impressive since his return, and it looks like the direction is going to continue to stay with feuding with the Judgment Day, which I don't mind right now. There's a lot of history there, obviously, so I'm excited to see the match next week. I think that match could easily be match of the night. Was it Jay versus Finn, or was there something in between?
It was Chelsea and Piper versus Kaden and Katana.
And this is something I'm actually very excited about, because I noted when they came out, they had a little graphic that said, former women's tag team champions, which I don't think they had that graphic for Katana Chance and Kaden Carter, because they were, you know, the NXT tag team champions for women. So, and then Chelsea and Piper ended up winning that match, actually. So, I don't know if they're kind of doing a little mini push for them again now that Piper Niven's back, because there wasn't really anywhere for Chelsea to go when Piper was gone. She couldn't be a prominent singles run. I mean, there was nowhere for her. There wasn't a feud with Rhea. There wasn't a feud with, like, any of the other top women, like Becky or Nia. She was just kind of there. But I think now that Piper Niven's back, maybe they'll get a little push. I don't know. Maybe a little push towards Money in the Bank for when she wins that briefcase. So I think they're trying to build her up a little more, which I love.
Because Chelsea will be winning Money in the Bank.
Maybe. Her will Tiffany be. Stratton. We'll talk about that will when be. We get closer to Money in the Bank. But it's her Tiffany Stratton.
Having Chelsea win was such a huge deal to me. Like, I know it sounds like wild, but literally I love Chelsea Green. I think she is amazing. So having her win that match was such a big deal. And I've literally been wanting to see Chelsea win something like that for so long. And I was so tired of seeing her be put in matches that were, like, against Jade Cargill, and she was obviously not winning that. but I am super excited about the fact that she finally was able to win a match. And I hope that they are getting a push, because I like both of them. I like them as a tag team. It's really exciting that Piper Niven's back. I just hope that
Chelsea's really bringing out, like, Piper Niven's. Like, you notice, like, one on the apron on their entrance or whatever. Yeah. I was gonna say something about Chelsea. I don't remember what I was gonna say now. Oh my gosh. Oh. Yeah, she's, like, one of the weird wrestlers in WWE, because she doesn't mind losing. She actually wants to lose. She wants to be that, like, classic diva that goes out there and causes a storm and super loud and annoying and just to get squashed. She's talked about it in an interview. She loves that. So, I mean, she's a very fun character, I think. If you don't like Chelsea Green, you hate her, and that's the point.
Right.
So, I think it's fun. We have a new segment. I haven't actually told you what this new segment is yet.
I don't know.
So, we're going to do something every... Maybe not every single episode, but once a week. So maybe every Raw or every SmackDown, we are going to do a little trivia thing. I'm going to ask Kales a question. She's going to ask me a question. Of course, the questions she asked me are going to be a little harder, just because I've been a wrestling fan for a little longer, and the questions I'll ask her are going to be a little easier. She's looking very confused right now.
Okay.
I'll give you time to find something. Don't worry. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask these questions, and then we're going to give us ourselves a little bit of time to answer, and then you guys can go on our Twitter at Riptide Rundown and give your answers to the questions, what you thought the answers were, and one of the lucky viewers will be featured and shouted out in one of the next episodes. So, I have my first question to you. My questions to her are going to be a little easier just because she hasn't been a wrestling fan as long.
This is not going to go good for me.
My question. In 2022, there were 5 members of the Bloodline, not including Paul Heyman. Can you name me all 5 members? Hold on. If you guys want a second to think about it, pause the podcast. But if not, she's going to go ahead with her answer here.
So, Roman.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Jay.
Uh-huh.
Solo.
Yep. And there's one more.
Sammy?
The honorary Ooze. Those were the 5 members of the Bloodline. All right, you got a question for me?
Which wrestler was the first Divas Champion?
Ooh! Do I get a multiple choice, or do I just get a raw dog and just guess?
I guess I can give you multiple choice. Okay.
Give me multiple choice.
So, Mickie James.
Okay.
Michelle McCool.
Okay.
Natalia.
Okay.
Or Nikki Bella.
I feel like... Why do I remember a match with Natalia and Charlotte Flair in NXT? I don't know if this was... No. The Divas Championship was far before that.
Do you want me to give you, like, a date?
Yeah, give me a date. Hope. Yeah.
It was won July 20th, 2008.
Yeah, okay. So it was definitely before Charlotte Flair's time, because that's when I'm thinking, like, 2013. 2008, Michelle McCool or Mickie James? It was Mickie James, right?
It was Michelle McCool!
I was between those two initially, because I remember that Natalia and Charlotte did have a match for the title, but I think that was, like, 2013, and Charlotte won that. And who was the other one you gave me? Natalia, Michelle McCool.
Mickie James and Nikki Bella.
Yeah, no, Nikki Bella was not the first Divas Champion.
Charlotte was the last.
Yes, and then she got a new title. She won that off Natalia. And mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's 0-1 for me and 1-0 for her. So that's a fun little segment. If you guys wanted to answer those questions for yourself, just head on over to our Twitter at Riptide Rundown and let us know what you guys answered. Okay, we have 2 segments left for the rest of the night of Raw. I believe it was Jay versus Finn.
Yes.
The next one, solid match, pretty good match, ended up in Jey Uso getting the win, obviously, pushing him towards his match at Backlash, and then Damian Priest coming out and confronting him. So, 1-10, what is your hype level for this match between the two of them?
Oh, boy. Okay. It's kind of hard. I am really excited, so I guess I would give it about an 8.
An 8? Okay.
I wouldn't say I am, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, a 10 where I'm, like, overly excited, but I definitely am excited for this. I just hope that, like, within the next coming weeks before Backlash, we get a lot more, like...
See, I'm at, like, a 4 or a 5.
Really?
I really wanted Drew versus Damian again. Just, I feel like that would make sense. And I understand they're going the Drew versus Punk route, but, like, when is Punk coming back? Are they just going to have Drew do promos for 2 months? I mean, he's only under contract for another 6 weeks. Like, are they just going to have them do promo battles for, like, a couple weeks and then eventually have a match, maybe, at SummerSlam? Like, I would like him to... Like, I think Damian's retaining no matter who he faces, but I think a Damian versus Drew match would have been phenomenal.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm not really too excited for the match as of right now. I don't see... they keep throwing Jay in these title shots that we know he's not going to win. We know it wasn't going to beat Gunther. We know he wasn't going to beat Roman. We know he wasn't going to beat Theory when he... faced him for the United States Championship, and we know he's not going to beat Damian. They're just kind of throwing him in these pointless title shots. But I don't think this is the direction for Jey Uso. Right before his match, Jackie Redmond asked him his thoughts about Tama Tonga and Jimmy Uso. And I think, to me at least, it's very clear that we're getting an Uso's reunion.
I think we are, too. I mean, like, I know this is going back to SmackDown, but I even thought that Jay was going to come out on SmackDown and help Jimmy. But, I mean... I guess that wouldn't have made much sense. I mean, it would, but I think it would have made more sense for it to be a longer, drawn-out thing. But
I see Tama Tonga costing him the match Backlash and then cementing him going with Jimmy. I just think he was talking about it. He's like, man, you should have listened to me. And he's like, I got to keep my focus. So I think this is really just going to take over his mind the next couple weeks and really distract him. And then Tama Tonga's going to come out and Solo's going to come out and cost him the match.
I really hope we do get, like, the Usos back together. That would be... like, really great to see.
Yeah, they haven't been together for quite a while, it feels like, at least. I mean, they lost their titles at WrestleMania 39, and they've never been the same since then. So I would really... Yeah, I mean, it would be really nice to see them back together. That's what they are for me. Yeah, but I'm at, like, a 5 for that match, excitement level. I hope they keep building. I hope I get more excited. I'm a big Jey Uso fan. I just don't... It's hard when you don't realistically see that person winning it, but, you know, that's not always a bad thing because nobody thought Sami was going to win the title at WrestleMania 40, and that match he had with Gunther was phenomenal. Yeah. If not for all the returns in the main event, that was match of WrestleMania for me. So good. Speaking of Sami Zayn, the main event of Monday Night Raw, Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship. The segment from Jey Uso walking out to Sami from Sami walking into his entrance. That was sick entrance of the year for me. Phenomenal entrance. She's rolling her eyes because of the fan that got in Jey Uso's way. I think it's very rude and disrespectful when stuff like that happens and fans are just trying to like push their way into the cameras and push their way into the wrestlers. Like, you need to know the boundaries and back away.
We've met them, and I would never, like, personally, I would never go out of my way to, like, touch them.
He was, like, forcing himself, like, right next to him. Like, it's so weird. And Jay's like, get the fuck out. Like, push him out of the way. Like, get out of my fucking way.
I would never, like, I try to think of it, like, as I wouldn't want someone doing that to me. Why would I sit there and go do that to someone that is, one, like, they have security around them because of people like that. To, I mean, they wouldn't want people to just, like, I don't know. It just makes me so mad. Like, I hate seeing stuff like that. Just
irks me a little bit. To the main event, Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable for the title. It was a decent match, pretty solid match. Sami ended up suplexing Gable on his head. Thank God, it seemed like Gable's okay and he took it well. But that was scary. Sami did not get him over, by the way. Ended up with an exploder in the corner. Sami was bleeding from his forehead, hitting a beautiful Huluva kick and pinning him 1-2-3. And Sami ended up winning. You know, him and Chad Gable have a little moment in the rain. Sami goes over to hug his wife. Bam. Suplex from Chad Gable. The Chad Gable heel turn is upon us.
I am super excited about Gable, like, you know, turning and stuff like that. Like, I think that that's super exciting. But I would like to add something to this match, and it isn't, like, it wasn't as much of a big deal in this one, but there have been times in the past like this, where Sami did show some pain or something in his knee during the match. It was towards the beginning, and he didn't really seem like it was a big deal, but I will say, I'm just adding this, obviously I don't know if he was actually injured, or if, you know, he was in pain, or if it was just a fake thing, but I have noticed that in a lot of matches, they do, like, fake injuries, where they, fake being hurt, but then the next week they come out and they're fine.
Yeah.
I feel like faking the injuries takes away from the people that are actually injured, in my opinion, because I never know, like, oh my gosh, are they actually hurt, or is it faking?
Yeah.
Like,
No, you're fine. No, go ahead.
With Seth at WrestleMania, I didn't know if he was genuinely hurt again, which seems like he is. I didn't know if he was genuinely hurt again or if it was just a, you know, work for the show.
I think that's the point, though. It keeps you interested, keeps you wondering, are they actually okay? Like, you know, obviously, like, for the little kids, they, you know, they'll always think that they're hurt. But for the older fans that, you know, what WWE is, I think they just do it on purpose, kind of keep you guessing. They also do it for, like, the hero story, like, the comeback, you know, from a you know, battered knee, you know, coming back and winning the match. Like, I don't know. I'm not against it. I think it's a good addition to the matches, but, you know.
I guess. Anyway. I didn't mean to. I mean, like, that kind of took away a bit from what we were talking about. I just wanted to add that. I will say that Chad Gable always looks so amazing in all of his matches.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal in-ring worker. He's one of the best in-ring workers in WWE. It reminds a lot of people of Kurt Angle. Obviously, there's so many similarities there. He's phenomenal. And he's good on the mic, too. He's great with the fans. And I think this Chad Gable heel turn is honestly going to be fans enjoying it. Because I know a lot of fans wanted it. So it might be one of those things where the heel's actually not the heel. But, I mean, I want Chad Gable to win this title over Sami. I don't care if Sami only holds it for another week. I want Chad Gable to win this title. I don't care if Sami holds it for 2 weeks or 2 months. Gable needs to win this title.
I agree. I think I want Sami to hold it for... I mean, I don't see him having a
lawn reign.
Roman Reigns type of...
Well, nobody ever or will.
A Gunther type of...
No, I don't see him holding it for... I mean, my limit is probably a year, maybe 400 days yeah. max.
Yeah.
Max. I could definitely see him losing it before the end of the year, but at the latest, I think he'll lose it at WrestleMania next year. Mm-hmm. I just hope it's against Gable. Gable or Sheamus. I would love Gable to lose it and then Sheamus to be Gable for it eventually. I think that would be perfect. You know, the heel, Gable has the title, then here comes Sheamus. You know, keep... Because, you know, people tend to hold on to titles for a little long, so, like, you know, matches happen, you're like, are they really going to lose it already? Mm-hmm. You know, I would like that. Like, Sammy loses it quick. It's like, oh, shit! Like, he actually dropped the title already just to keep that little bit of a suspense up, I mm-hmm. guess. Because wrestling in the 2010s, you would lose your fucking WWE title on Raw.
Right.
That's it. You'd lose it on Raw. I mean, they would never do that anymore. You would never just lose your world heavyweight title on Raw. It just doesn't happen anymore. Yeah, unless there's anything else you want to add, my thoughts are concluded for the main event.
I think I'm good. I don't have much. I mean, Raw for me personally, obviously, like I said, being a Rhea fan, being a Judgment Day fan, it was a little rough for me this week.
Yeah.
Having Rhea start out, it just kind of took away. I mean, like, obviously they wanted to get that done and over with. I understand completely.
Absolutely.
But I think it wasn't just for me, but for a lot of Rhea fans, it was definitely difficult to get through the rest of Raw knowing that.
Yeah, you know, it's weird starting off on that, like, sad note, but you have to. You have to start with that. You can't keep fans wondering for a while. But yeah, like I said, thoughts and prayers with Rhea Ripley. Just hoping she comes back super strong. And we'll go from there. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you with another episode sometime Saturday morning, early afternoon. Thank you so much.